Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. Tremendous time we had in India. Got home a little over a week ago with a 15 and a half hour time change. We left here, and the team consisted of myself and Dr. Janelle Morocco, Pastor Michael Hughes from Dallas, Texas, Mohan and Geetha Samuel, who are here. Well, actually, Geetha is online. She went to go visit her family, which we understand very well. She's there in Washington online, but Mohan is here, and he's going to share in just a moment. And then Vic Pierce. You'll see Vic Pierce in the video that we're going to show here in a little bit. And it was transformative. The trip was amazing. Here the church was able to raise approximately $12,000, came in for that mission trip to help pay for the food and all of the pastors coming in and just be a blessing to India there. And I commend you for your generosity. And I felt to just come and bring a report of what God did and preach a message to you, which I'm going to call the global altar. A powerful word out of Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. But before I do that, I'm going to ask Mohan, would you come? Mohan and Geetha, come on, brother. And I'm going to do what they did to me in India. I'm going to bless you with one of these. There we go. Would you put your hands together for him? It's such a blessing. And you and your wife are exceptional. They treated me like I was royalty there. Wouldn't let me pay for anything. Tripping up. I'm sure you're horrified that I just said that. But they were constantly jumping up, and they were snatching my card out of the hands, and they were paying for things. They said, "You're in my nation. You're in India. I'm from India. You're not paying for anything." But I did ditch you a couple times and pay for some things. You were premier intercessors on the trip. And God used you profoundly. And I'll just share one funny story. There's other heavier duty stories perhaps the Lord will allow us to share that were, I believe, life-threatening. And God spared us from that. But something that felt life-threatening that probably wasn't is I'm on a very strict nutrition program, and I went to India, and there's no, all you're going to eat there is basmati rice and a lot of curry, which is pretty much the opposite of everything I eat now and the opposite of everything I've eaten for about a year. So I went there. I was very concerned, and so we had intercessors praying specifically for my digestive tract. So I went, and it was fine. My digestive tract is great, except I started having an acid stomach to the likes. It hurt so bad. And so we're in the elevator, and I said, "Oh, God, you got to help me." I was going to go out and, like, find some yogurt and get or drink some milk or milk a goat. I was going to do something, anything I needed to do to calm down the fire that was in my stomach. It was horrible, very painful, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to sleep. So we're going up in the elevator. And Mohan and Geetha are with me. I'm like, "Oh, God." And I feel like, maybe these guys have some Tums. That'd be like a miracle. I said, "Does anybody have Tums?" And Geetha says, "Oh, yes, Pastor. I have Tums. The Holy Spirit spoke to me to buy them." They don't need Tums. They don't use Tums. They don't ever use it. The Holy Spirit spoke to her in America to buy a thing of Tums. They gave it to me, and I ate nearly the whole thing, the whole rest of my trip, and God spared my stomach. That's just a simple answer to prayer. Would you put your hands together for Mohan? Mohan, go ahead and share whatever is on your heart tonight. Go ahead. Okay.
Thank you, Pastor Daniel. It's not very many times that I stand before a group of people, so you'll have to excuse me. If I sound nervous, I truly am. Anyway, I should say at least that one line word of prayer. "Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord and my King." First of all, I want to thank the Lord God Almighty, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, for bringing us back to America without any incident. All glory goes to him. Next, let me thank Pastor Morocco and his family, without which we would not have been able to go to India, and his constant prayers and his direction. Thirdly, I want to thank Pastor Daniel and Pastor Karen for all their effort and their encouragement for this trip. I want to thank each and every pastor and minister here for all your prayers, and more than anything, all my brothers and sisters, I mean a big thank you from the bottom of my heart. You prayed for several weeks before we left, while the enemy was whispering in my ear, not everything may be going all right. And I had a very bad experience when I went on a previous mission trip with another pastor's family in one of my old churches. The police were there at the hotel after we left in another state, inquiring if there was any conversion. So that was always in my mind. I didn't quite tell it, but now I'm telling after everything is over. Well, for some good stuff, if I have the authority to plagiarize the Bible, I just want to read this. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the United States, my home, and India, my birth home, is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So that is my area of plagiarization. And now I'm thankful for all your prayers. Without your prayers, nothing would have taken place. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run throughout the whole earth to give strong support to those whose heart is blameless towards him." So we all believe this by faith. And your Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I was quite sure the six of us with God in between makes the perfect number 7. Everything went well. The enemy was on a leash. And the worst thing that the enemy could do during this trip was to delay Pastor Daniel's trip back to the U.S. But nothing else happened. As Pastor Daniel said, when the dragon closed its mouth, we were out of the mouth. So that is something. And the more I look at the trip, I can understand what is said, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. So the Lord God Almighty has begun that small work in India. It's only a dent that a few of us started, but it's going to go a long way. And remember how important your prayers are. If you go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, the prophet Elijah said a 62 or a 63 word prayer against the 450 prophets of Baal. And guess what happened? Something unbelievable happened. It's more than a David versus Goliath situation. So it is all our prayers against 1.4 billion people's prayers to 300 million plus gods. And we will come out triumphantly in the end. So I want to thank you all. I don't want to keep you waiting. I know Pastor Daniel has got a message, but we had incredible victories when Pastor Daniel was praying. So many of the pastors started being slain under the Holy Spirit, and they were speaking in tongues. I didn't know if they would all fall for it, because most of them were Baptist pastors, and I wasn't sure whether they understood or believed in speaking in tongues or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But we did see a transformation. I thank Pastor Daniel, I thank Pastor Jenel, and Pastor Michael Hughes. So it was three pastors and three non-pastors with God in the middle. We went to a temple. We went to a witnessing behind a temple, and that is where it was scary. And thankfully, nothing happened, and I'm thankful that Pastor Daniel is here. If he didn't come, I would not come too. I cannot face Pastor Karen and all of you. But God had his plans. Keep praying for us. We need the prayer. And one, Pastor Daniel was a rock star in India. He looked like a person coming from another planet, not from the United States. One of the pastors loved him so much that he washed the feet of all three pastors who came. And that was a blessing, blessed moment. Thank you, Lord, for everything. Thank you, Pastor Daniel, Pastor Karen, and God bless you. And God bless all my brothers and sisters.
Amen. It was powerful. And Geetha, we sure wish that you were here. Geetha, you're just such a pure-hearted intercessor, so filled with the Spirit. Over and over, she would show up at the right time, and I'd be like, how are you right here right now? She says, the Holy Spirit told me to come out right now. And it's ongoing. This is a tremendous couple, and God bringing you to Kings was a confirmation to me about going to India. And we will go back, and we will have a great impact. And God's doing many things through many churches there, but he's called us to be a part of the harvest in India. And there's a number of reasons for that, which I'll get to. One of the ways that they greet each other in the church is that they put their hands together. Go ahead, go like this. And then they greet each other, just bow and bless you. All right, you know what we should do right now? Let's go ahead, let this video play, and then we'll preach to you. Go ahead, let it roll. Amen. Take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Oh, sorry. It was very impactful for me being there. You know, we don't have any problems. I know you might think you do, but I mean, that's kind of a generality, but really, when you look at how much we have, it is, it's astounding. We've been blessed tremendously. Malachi chapter 1 and 11, would you stand up on your feet with me? No notes, but I hope that you take them. Malachi 1 verse 11, reading from the New King James Version. Let's read the word of the Lord. From the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Move in power. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. To tell you, just to give you a little background for me, years ago, my mother hired, helped a lady who was from India, very special lady. Her name was Maya. She's a graduate of Harvard University and came to, that other university, Yale. Graduate of Yale and came to live in our home for 8 to 10 months. In the 8 to 10 month period that she came to live in our home, I was impacted by by how she carried herself, by her behavior, by the stories she told. I think I was 7 or so, and she had an impact on me. And it wasn't just that. We didn't drink coffee in my home. We drank tea. And just the fact that we drank tea and just this influence of the East, and it impacted me over the years. Giving my heart to Christ, I heard about Dr. Morocco being born in Calcutta. His parents, Dan and Esther Morocco, are missionaries to Calcutta. They went there, started reaching the lost, feeding the hungry, clothing the naked. They worked not in the same field, but alongside same city as Mother Teresa. They knew her. And they felt to start a church, but the particular denomination they were part of didn't feel like that's what they were supposed to do. So they had to come back to the United States of America, and they petitioned the Assemblies of God, which was a denomination, that please let us open a church. And they had to argue their case, as I understand it, and they ended up having favor. About a year or so later, they moved back to India, Calcutta, and they opened a church. And God blessed that work that later became, do you have the name of that hospital? It was later taken over by the Bontains. I'm so sorry. Bontains. I'm sorry I don't have the information. Pastor Kirsten, you know the name of Jesus, help me right now. It became this incredible university hospital and training center and school. It is one of the largest Christian institutions in Calcutta today, and it was started by Dan Morocco and Esther Morocco, and Dr. Morocco was born there. He would tell stories, and I grew up hearing these. When I say grew up, I came to church, gave my life to Jesus. I would hear these stories when he was a little boy, having to step over people in the street, not knowing if they're dead or alive. He would talk about cows being all in the streets, people starving to death, and you have stakes walking around. And I saw that. We saw cows in the middle of the street. I mean, it was really something. We had all these cows, and we were blessed to eat curry and rice. It's fantastic. And Tums was always my dessert. So India kind of got in my blood, and I've just have always wanted to do something. Pastor Karen didn't go on this trip, but you go on the next one. And I got you that little dress that you're wearing tonight. And you've had a heart for India your whole life. Your whole life, always wanted to go. And we will go back by the grace of God, under the protection, the leading, and the direction of the Lord. And so when Mohan and Geetha came into the church from India, now they were from a different state than the one that we went to, but when they came into the church, I thought, oh yeah, God loves me so much. He brought Indians in Alaska. Deeply love and appreciate you. Thank you for your generosity and for your generosity towards the Lord. And you're always so gracious. Then they started feeding me Indian food, a couple years ago. They brought it. They said, oh, we want to give you Indian food, naan. And has anybody ever seen that? They eat with their hand, just the right hand, though, because the left hand does other things. So India got into our heart, and we were so grateful to go. We had 120 pastors show up, and at that moment, by our guesstimate, conservatively, 95% of them got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. And it wasn't even like we laid hands on them. We laid hands on them after. But when I was preaching, I just saw God's power fall, just kind of like Acts 10. I saw the power of God fall, people shaking. I mean, these are people that were not really like that. They got filled with the Spirit, and I'm told by Pastor Kalei, who is one of the pastors that hosted us, they went back, and they're having Holy Ghost meetings where people are getting filled with the Spirit in small groups and places. Come on, somebody ought to say hallelujah. This text, Malachi 1 and 11, is a favorite of Pastor Karen and mine. It means so much to me. The literary and historical context here, Malachi is prophesying in the post-exile period, about 450 BC, it's after Israel returned from Babylon and rebuilt the temple, about the same time. And despite the restoration, their worship had become corrupt. And I only read one verse, but you could back up and read a little bit more. You see that their worship is messed up. They're bringing defective animals and calling it, you know, the best for God. And they're being rebuked. This Malachi is rebuking. The priests were offering blemished sacrifices. You can look Malachi 1 and verse 7 and 8. The people had treated God's altar with contempt. Contempt means hatred. So when they're bringing something to God that's defective and not their best, they're basically saying, we don't really give a flip about you. Of course, that doesn't happen today, does it? While people are Instagramming and worship is taking place and we're distracted by all kinds of things, we can sometimes offer God defective worship. Now, through the prophet, God confronts the religious leadership, the people that are dishonoring God, and he corrects them. But in verse 11, God lifts the vision of Israel to the nations. He lifts it off of Israel, and he prophesies to the nations. It is a very powerful, powerful prophetic word. I'm going to look at it just line by line here. From the rising of the sun even to its going down. This is poetic. It's in Hebrew idiom. Everywhere on earth. It's a Hebrew idiom. Everywhere on earth. It's talking about Psalm 113 verse 3. From the rising of the sun. There it is again. It's a Hebrew idiom. Meaning everywhere on earth, from the east to the west, all the places at all times. That's what that means. It's not just from the east to the west, but it's from the rising of the sun to the time of its going down. In other words, all times, in all places, wherever the sunshine hits, God's glory will be seen. Incense. And incense is a beautiful prophetic picture, which we'll get into. But this from the rising of the sun to its going down. It's everywhere on earth, east to west, in all places at all times. In all places at what? All times. My name shall be great. Not it might be great. My name shall be great among the Gentiles. It's not a wish. It's a prophetic declaration from God that this is what's going to happen. From the rising of the sun to the place of its going down at all times and all places, the name of God Almighty will be made great. Can you say amen? Amen. And that is what's happening. Here we are having church in Alaska, and the name of the Lord, come on, is being made great right now. Come on, make his name great right now. That's what's happening, and that's what took place in India, and that's what God is doing in every nation of the earth, even the ones that are not reached yet. They will soon be reached. You know why? Why? Because from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down, everywhere in all places at all times, the name of the Lord shall be great. Can you give a shout? Amen. It goes on to say, in every place incense shall be offered. Every place signals a shift. What's the shift? It's not just Israel. It's not just Israel. It's Hyderabad. It's Botswana. It's everywhere. It's a shift from a local belief and a local worship of God to everywhere in the earth. It is really quite profound. Every place is a shift from localized temple worship to new covenant reality of a global altar, global worship. That is what God is doing. He is calling every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. And you know what I believe? I believe God has raised up a people in Alaska and all those that are online, and he's raising up a people that are under the sun everywhere, at all times, to make his name great and to be mission, to fund missions and to push people out, to raise up leaders. Can you say hallelujah? Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. So let every place incense shall be offered. Again, it's a shifting. The prophet prophesying to really a localized believers, of course, Old Testament believers, but he's saying it's no longer going to be localized. It's going to cover the earth. And a pure offering. Everybody say a pure offering. The Hebrew word for pure, tahor, would be the transliterated version in English. It implies clean. It implies holy. It implies acceptable. It applies righteous. It applies right. Pure, a pure offering. In other words, the opposite of that would be a defiled offering, would be a blemished offering, would be something that's unclean, unholy, unright. And the prophet is correcting them, saying, what are you all doing? Don't you know that from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down, everywhere at all times, the name of the Lord is going to be made great? It's not just going to be here in the temple. And you're offering them this lame, defective worship. So it's quite a rebuke. What a contrast. And a pure offering will be offered in these places. And it really is a glimpse into the new covenant worship as well. Points to the church age, when the church will no longer be tied to a physical location as it was in Israel, tied to the temple. John 4 and verse 23 in the New King James reads, but the hour is coming and now is, when the true worshipers will worship of the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's basically saying, do we worship here? He's talking to the woman at the well. We worship at the temple or worship here. And Jesus says, oh no, there's coming a time where you're tying worship to a place. Worship is to be everywhere. In fact, your life is to be a living sacrifice. We are to be worship everywhere we go, everything we do, our speech, our actions. We're supposed to be an act of worship. Romans chapter 12, the reasonable act of worship. Considering everything that Jesus has done, the reasonable thing you should do, that which is reasonable is to be a living sacrifice. A reasonable act of worship. Worship is more than words on a screen. It's that which comes forth from your heart. And involves so much. Revelation 5, turn there with me. Revelation 5, verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. How do we get redeemed to God? By his what? His blood. Sorry, can't hear you. How do you get redeemed? By his blood, not by coming to kings. If you've not been redeemed, keep coming to kings, but you will constantly hear you're redeemed by his blood. By what? His blood. By his blood, out of every tribe, and tongue, and people, and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign in the earth. The reason he redeemed you is so that you would be a king, so that you would be a priest. God saves you so that you can walk in righteousness and purity and holiness, so that you could be your royalty. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, you're royalty. Come on, say, you're royalty. Come on. Come on, you're a king. You're a king. You're a queen. There's only kings and queens. And kings can't be queens. And queens can't be kings. You're a king. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, if it's a woman, say you're a queen. All right, you're a king. Queen. King. Absolutely. You too. He saves us. Why? So we'd be kings and queens and priests unto our God. The priesthood of all believers. So powerful, this prophetic word out of Malachi, tying into Revelation chapter 5. Incense, this incense is a picture of prayer. Malachi 1:11 connects incense with worship. But throughout Scripture, incense symbolizes prayer too. It symbolizes the gospel, it symbolizes worship, but it clearly symbolizes prayer. Revelation 5:8. And he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of, I got somebody that got it right. Guess what? Incense is the answer. Golden bowls full of
incense.
All the kids say incense. Golden bowls full of
incense.
Incense. Yeah, incense is prayer. Incense is a picture of prayer. And that comes from the Old Testament. It's actually, there's a number of amazing miracles that would take place at the temple. And one of them is that the incense, it rose from the altar of incense always. Nahamenides, different ones, Josephus, they talk about there's certain miracles in the temple that are like there was never a fly on the Temple Mount. Obviously, none of you ever killed a moose or a large. Did anybody ever slaughter anything anywhere? Soon there's going to be flies. How could there be no flies on the Temple Mount when it is a slaughterhouse? Because the slaughter of bulls and goats, it was a place where there were ongoing blood sacrifices for the atonement of sin. And there was no flies. It is a miracle. That's a miracle. Another miracle is this incense. The altar of incense would burn, and it always, no matter what was happening, incense always went straight up. No matter what the wind was doing, incense went straight. And they literally believed, and you can see it at the dedication of the temple, that wherever you were, if you turned eastward and you prayed, that your prayers would be carried, it would hit the incense, and it would go straight up to heaven. Now, we don't believe that, but that's what they believed. And it is interesting that the incense went straight up. And this revelation here, these prayers of the saints, golden bowls full of incense, full of, everybody say full. Full, that means complete. That means that you can't get any more in it. It's also a picture of answered prayer. It's a picture of those bowls beginning to tip. Revelation 8 and verse 3. Turn there, quick. Hurry up. Hurry up. Take your time. Revelation 8. Then another angel having a golden censer came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer on it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. That is a powerful picture. So when Malachi 1 and 11 says, from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down, that incense will rise, a pure offering. The name of the Lord will be made great. I'm kind of changing the order of it a little bit, but can you go ahead and put Malachi 1 and 11 up on my screen one more time? So when it says, from the rising of the sun even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles and every place incense. I do believe that this is a picture of a global prayer movement. All across America, people are crying out to God. All across the nations, people are crying out to God. And I don't mean just on a Sunday morning and Sunday night. There are prayer meetings. You know, we've had incense that's been coming forth from the great Northland for well over 20 years. Well, it's not 24 hours a day yet, but one day we will get there by the grace of God. And I can tell you that I believe what I understand in this region, the longest lasting prayer meeting that there has been, corporate prayer meeting, longest lasting prayer meeting in this generation, is right here in this church for well over 20 years. Every single day we gather and pray. I know there's other churches that pray, and I'm grateful for that, but I understand that God wants to bring incense all across America, all across the nations. You know, incense is rising from India right now. And in a greater way, because somehow us and our feeble weakness went there, and we do not despise the day of small things. God touched them. There's more prayer meetings. They sent me on my phone on WhatsApp. I have pictures of prayer meetings they did not have before we got there. And now they're meeting daily, and now they're meeting, they're praying. And we had this one, we stopped at this orphanage. Oh, the orphanage. Didn't the orphanage just mess with you? Oh my gosh, the orphanage was so powerful. It was an unplanned trip. It was one of the pastor's uncles has an orphanage. We thought we'd go. He's in the middle of surrounded by a bunch of angry Hindu type people that aren't so excited. He's got a Christian orphanage. The precious man came to America with his wife and was very successful. And in the midst of all their success and their homes and their prosperity, God speaks to him and says, great, sell everything, move back to India and open an orphanage. And he did it. And he went and he took it. And they have had 1,000 children go through. They've graduated 1,000 kids in 20 years. They've been there 20 years. And they brought those children out and they began to sing and they were shy. I mean, you look into the faces. Does anybody know what it looks like to look into a face of a happy child? They're shining. Not like the pixelated look that I see off of some children because they're staring at a screen and they don't have a parent looking at them in the face telling them they're going to do something great. Not that. And no one here, of course. No, there was a joy, a genuine, radiant joy that can only come from the Lord. Listen, I've been doing this a long time. I have a little bit of discernment. I pray for more. I can discern when somebody's got joy that comes from God. It looks like a flashlight beaming out of their face. They all looked like that. Am I right? And I looked at that and I was like, oh my God. Oh my God. It was amazing, filled with joy, 120 little orphans, boys and girls. And I thought, we should just adopt one or two or three. But you cannot. You're not allowed. You're not allowed to adopt any children from the orphanage. You can definitely support them. It costs them about $300 to feed 120 orphans, $200 to $300, 120 orphans, and the staff there. And they have done an amazing job. And I looked at the joy. But they had some clear challenges and problems, and they told us what the challenges were. And there's a lot of fear right now. They just, right from the very city that we left, they killed a pastor. But 2 days after we left. How many of you heard that? They killed him. He's dead. He was a great debater. He was a great pastor, a leader of many other pastors. He was a theologian. He was an inspiration. And he got martyred. The church has got together to fight against that and to begin to get to the bottom of it. And what happened is the family said, no, it's an accident. And everybody backed away from the martyrdom because basically they came and said, if you press charges, we're killing all of you too, and we'll kill all the rest of you. And they just backed off. They said, we're just going to forgive them. You're blessed to live in America, but we cannot forget the church in India. And it's not just India, but we're focused on that. There is a persecuted church. We're so blessed. My gosh, when somebody cuts us off because of a Christian fish on the back of my car, actually, I don't on the back of my car because of the way I drive. I don't want to be a bad witness. But some of you got cut off the way that Pastor Karen drives as well. Amen. Some of you got cut off, and it's like, I know it's because I got a Christian fish on the back, and they cut me off. I'm persecuted. I'm pretty sure that's not being persecuted. God is raising up people. We went to that orphanage and these beautiful children shining at us, and they sang and they asked us. It was impromptu. None of it was planned. They said, do you want to share? And I shared for a moment. And Dr. Janelle shared as well. And they said, we have some obstacles. Would you pray? And we said, well, sure. We prayed and prophesied over them. And this is where I got the text. As I was prophesying over them, I prophesied this text of scripture, and I saw these beautiful orphan children going all over the world. I saw God raising them up and going all over the world like missionaries. And I was so overwhelmed that they don't have a mom and dad maybe like you and I did. They've got mom and dad and this man of God and this woman of God and the joy that they have. It was very touching. They're trying to build a building and to add on to their facility, but they have some electrical wires that go right through the property. I mean, you should see it. The whole foundation's in, and literally you have these high voltage wires going right through the middle of where their building is. They said, we've been waiting for how many years? Do you remember? Waiting for years for them to move the wires, but they won't move them. It's just tied up. So we stood out there and we reached our hands and we prayed like we do. God has, by his grace, given us a boldness, a bold way to pray. When you know God's will, then you pray that thing with all your heart, not some lame sauce prayer where you beg God that he would do something that he said he was going to do. If God said he's going to do it, then you graciously, humbly, but authoritatively decree that thing to happen. It's God's will. And many things don't happen in our lives because we don't pray like that often. Lord, you know my heart. Lord, if you did. What? What does the word say? Pray the word. Decree the word. Declare it. It's incense. It'll rise before his throne. So we stood there and we prayed like we do. This is how I prayed. This is how I prayed. And there was others that were praying. I might have been a little louder. We had many people pray, but I prayed, God, deal with the person that's holding this thing up. Lord, it's your will to bring in more orphans and to touch these kids and to help them. So in the name of Jesus, change them or remove them. Do whatever it takes to move this thing according to your plan and will. In the name of Jesus, change them or remove them. In Jesus' name, we all said amen. It was like a high five in heaven. Do you know, I was told, I was texted, that those wires are being moved in the next week or so. They've waited for years. How is that possible? Because authoritative, faith-filled, bold declarations change things. What could you change? What could you change in your family? What could you change in your life? What could we change in our community? Come on, somebody give an amen. Will incense rise to change the nations? Yes. Will it rise from you? That's up to you. Come on, lift your hands to heaven. Oh, God. A global altar you're making all around the world. Receive your full inheritance from the great Northland, I pray. Receive your full inheritance. Psalm 141, verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, lifting of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Come on, let's do that right now. Oh, God, keys, please. Oh, God. We lift our hands, God, in this place called Alaska, the great Northland, the land of the midnight sun. And I am very mindful that that which is released by faith here can change the nations. That which is being released here monetarily can change the nations. That which is taking place in our school and our life groups, Lord, in our services, even tonight streaming all around the world, can change the nations and is a fulfillment of the prophetic word spoken by Malachi, that from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down, everywhere, in every single part of the earth, at every time, you are bringing forth the outpouring of your spirit and even the raising of incense before your throne. Holy Spirit, release your power to the nations. Touch India right now. I know my brothers are going to watch this. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost, let the fire of your spirit burn. Let it burn on our brothers there. Our sisters. The blood of the martyrs cries out from the ground, and it was so many others martyred. Philip, I believe, right? Pardon me, Thomas, thank you. Thomas was martyred in India from the very place that you, your state. We'll go there. We will go to your state. We will do the same thing we just did in Hyderabad. God is going to help us to do it. And you know what? He's going to raise up others. Had an interesting experience, and then we'll close this time. I had an interesting experience in that, I don't know, I'm having a phenomena in my life. I'm almost 60, and I know that's young, but it's not as young as I used to be. I feel like I'm 25. Which is good, but I'm not. And I've moved into being a father, a spiritual father. And I had the great joy of going and seeing Pastor Michael and just launched into this powerful miracle ministry. He was raised in Hyderabad, and his father's the first one that started Christian television and impacted that whole part of India. Maybe it's the whole nation of India. Impacted the whole nation, pardon me. I need to be careful what I share next because I want to be certain that it doesn't cause a problem for anybody. We met with a pastor who wasn't, it was not a scheduled meeting. You got to be very careful. You can schedule yourself right out of a miracle. Because there's divine appointments and God will bring them. And if you're not sensitive to them, you miss them. So there was a divine appointment that came. My eyes were falling out of my head. My stomach felt like it was somebody was removing it. And I'm like, I need to lie down. Well, here comes this divine appointment. There's a divine appointment. And Pastor Michael's going to meet with this brother. And I thought, the last thing I want to do right now is sit in that meeting. And the Lord's like, you're doing it. Do it. I'm like, oh, God. Okay. Got some yogurt. Went down. They have the best yogurt in the whole world. I don't care what anybody says. Dannon ain't got nothing on Indian yogurt. Indian yogurt's all that. We talked, and in that dialogue, this man, great man of God, pastors a church of about 1,000 people, so dignified and so full of the Holy Ghost and so proud of Pastor Michael. As we sat there, he said, you know what's not right? I mean, you can't make this up. He said, you know what's not right? We're like, what? He says, you know that America allows Indians to come over and Swamis to come over and Hindu leaders to come over, and they've pushed yoga and they've pushed all of that into America, all across America. Do you know that America allows that? And I said, yes. He said, it's not right because there needs to be reciprocity. It's one thing to allow our nation and people to come in and do all that, but it is entirely wrong that we don't allow American missionaries and people to come in. Things have changed. It's not pop. You can't conversions. It's like, you get in big trouble. So we went as tourists. Amen. And he says there needs to be reciprocity. Here's the part that I need to make veiled. We came back, meeting with Dr. Morocco, in talking about that with him. He gets a phone call from a very high-level person in Washington, D.C., who had ability to do something about that. And Dr. Morocco, in true Dr. Morocco fashion, said, hey, sitting here with one of my pastors is Pastor Michael. Says, there needs to be reciprocity. Can you help to do? He said, absolutely. Do you know, I believe that God is going to change something. And then I saw in the news today the thing about tariffs and India just kind of backing off some stuff. I believe India is going to open like never before. It used to be wide open. It used to have these huge crusades, but that's shut down. I believe that because of our trip prophetically, and I'm sure the incense it rose from many other places, that God is causing India to open to the glorious gospel, and there's going to come reciprocity where missionaries will be able to go in and we'll plant churches all over that nation. Can somebody shout a hallelujah? Can somebody say amen? That's a miracle from God. Don't underestimate what we can do from Wasilla. Oh, can anything good from Wasilla come from Wasilla? Yes. Yes. You, me, us. Together, rising incense from the great Northland to make a difference, an altar all over America, all over the nations. Can God do anything great? He can. Don't limit him. Believe. Let incense rise from your home. Let incense rise in the morning and in the afternoon. In the evening, may we have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer meeting. May God cause a global altar to be released all across the world. And may he fling people into missions. I'm going to do this. If you feel called to missions, stand on your feet right now. Right where you are. Just before God. You know who you are. Short-term missions, long-term missions. You feel called to it. Father, thank you for these that are standing now. Help us, oh God, to reach these nations and so many more. Fulfill this prophetic word in and through us and the body of Christ. Put the scripture up for me one more time. Fulfill this prophetic word. In Jesus' name, I want to read this with you right out loud. Make it a declaration, not like you're just reading something. Stand up on your feet, would you, all of you, stand? Read right out loud from your heart, from your spirit. Ready? Set, go, out loud. From the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name, and a pure offering. For my name shall be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Put a crazy hand clap together for God. Come on, come on, come on. Come on, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. We're changing the world from Wasilla. We're changing the world from Alaska. That is what God has called us to do. Now, one more thing, and then we'll move into a time of baptism. If you have been offering God defective worship, if you've been defective in your worship, only you know that. Only you know whether you're giving God your best. If you're not, won't you repent right now? Just ask God to forgive you. He's worthy of your best. He's worthy. Lord, forgive us where we've not offered our best, where we just came in the motions and Minister Toby was singing with all his heart, but only half my heart was in it. Forgive us, God, for where we were complaining about how loud it was or how soft it was or the different songs that they were singing. Forgive us. Forgive us for where we're going through difficulty and we don't offer you praise and thanksgiving. It's your will to be grateful in all circumstances, thankful in the midst of all circumstances. Not everything's from you, but in the midst of it, God, we can be worshipers, that we would be truly living sacrifices before you because of what you've done, Romans 12. It's a reasonable act of service. Service is luteo in the Greek. Service is the word worship. A reasonable act of service. Worship is your whole life. May we truly be representative, not a defective worship, but holy and a pure offering may our lives be unto you for the glory of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not right with God, don't leave this place in that condition. Give your heart to Jesus for the first time, or number two, make a recommitment to him. If you drifted in your commitment, or you need to give your heart to Jesus for the first time, every head bowed, every eye closed, you say, that's me, Pastor. Would you raise your hand? Do that now. Go ahead. You want to be included in this prayer? God bless you. You want heaven to be your home? You want your sins forgiven? Raise your hand now. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. God bless you, son. Thank you. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. Thank you, sir. Thank you. I see that hand. Online. God bless you. Hands going up all over the place. Pray with me right out loud. Right out loud from your heart. Say, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die on a cross for my sin. I believe he rose again from the grave. And I ask you tonight to wash and cleanse me, to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for loving me, and thank you for hearing my prayer. Lift your hands to heaven, and as you do, I pray Holy Spirit upon you. Be filled, be strengthened with might, your inner being. Be set free from every bondage, from religiosity and tradition. May the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you and visit you tonight. Even from this night forward, your life will never be the same. Dreams and visions are going to be your portion. You will rise in godly influence. You will rise in godly authority. You will rise and walk in purity and holiness. And from your life will come incense, prayer, yes, but action. From your life, from my life, will come a pure offering of incense unto the Lord Almighty. May God's name be great through you and your family and your children and your marriage and the single people, the divorced people. May God's name be made great in Alaska and in America, all across the West Coast, all across the East Coast. May God's name be great from the rising of the sun to the place of its going down. Let the name of the Lord be made great in everywhere at all times until you come in the name of Jesus. Shout to God. Come on, shout to God. Hallelujah. Woo!
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com and may God's face shine upon you.